Well, welcome again. We are in week 10 of our sermon series. It all started with the New Testament. And this week our focus is on the Lord's Prayer. And this is the prayer that Jesus taught us. And we know that prayer is a common part of our service. In a typical service, we pray several times. Usually pray, you know, at the beginning of the service, receiving the offering and the joys and concerns and the Lord's Prayer. And outside of our worship service, you can take your joys and concerns home. And for those of you who do that, thank you. And I try to summarize it and email it out each week. And Martha makes sure it makes the bulletin. So we have those opportunities. We have our Wednesday night prayer. And prayer and prayer and prayer is very important. It is very, very important. And just how important is it? Well, in the New Testament, there are over 25 recorded instances in which Jesus prayed. In Paul's writing, there are over 41 times in which he talked about prayer. And in the Bible itself, there are over 650 prayers listed. That's a lot of prayers in 66 books, isn't it? Prayer is important. Luke records this version of it. You heard Matthew earlier from Carla, but Luke recorded this. He said, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I want you to consider this. The disciples saw Jesus turn water into wine. They saw Jesus multiply fishes and loaves. They saw Jesus cast out demons. They saw Jesus heal many sick people. And at the end of the ministry, they even saw Jesus raise somebody from the dead. But it's not recorded anywhere in the Gospels that I'm aware of where the disciples ever asked Jesus how to teach them to do any of those things. Think about it. The miracles of Jesus were spectacular. And what was the only recorded thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them? Isn't that something? Wouldn't it be nice, Jesus, teach me how to turn water into wine? I got a little business startup I got going on. Jesus, I'm going to open up an office for all the sick people. Teach me how to heal. Jesus, I want to get across that Sea of Galilee pretty good, pretty quick, and teach me how to walk on the water. They didn't ask that, did they? They saw something that was an essential key to everything that Jesus did. An essential key to the life and power of Jesus. And what was that? It was prayer. And prayer for us is like a multifunctional tool. We can use prayer to praise God, to cry to God, to talk to God, to ask God for things including our needs, our protection, to ask for His blessings, to ask God to intercede, to ask God to heal, to forgive, or to bring unity. We may ask God for wisdom, for guidance, for help. And prayer can be and should be a real conversation with God. Prayer can be done sitting, kneeling, standing, or laying down. We can pray with our hands lifted, our hands folded, hands open. We can pray with our eyes open or eyes closed. Oftentimes I pray when I'm driving down the road. Prayer is important. But as you might figure, when we talk about prayer, we must recognize that prayer is not a New Testament thing. Prayer was critical and crucial to all the central figures of the Old Testament. Jeremiah records this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God wants us to pray to him. God wants us to be in a relationship with him. God wants us to discern his will and to have success in his will. And the Lord's Prayer wasn't something Jesus just made up off the cuff. Jesus used key points from the Old Testament to give us the perfect model by which to pray. This prayer has become the best prayer because it all started with the Old Testament. Now, we are very familiar with the words, and here are just some of the references from the Old Testament found in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:9 says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is a very important way to open your prayer. This statement does a lot. First, it establishes order. It recognizes that we are addressing God, the Creator, and we are the creation. Do you understand that? He's the Creator, we are the creation. He is the King, we are His subjects. He is the Father, we are the children. There's an order to things. And it tells us that he is holy, he is to be honored, and he is worthy of our best, and he should be praised and worshiped. And one example from the Old Testament is from Isaiah 57. "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place." So when we pray to God, we first give praise and honor to God. We set the order right that we're subject to him. And then we continue as Jesus taught us, who said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done. Another way of saying this would be, "May we be as obedient on earth as your servants are in heaven." Life should be about God's will, God's direction. Everything we do should be directed by God. We have his word, his holy scripture, that gives us the outline for our lives, and we should study it and follow it. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 143, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." Then the prayer continues. "Give us today our daily bread." In other words, God, supply our needs. We have needs. God wants to meet our needs. Jesus has quoted several times that if we pray within God's will, we will get whatever we ask for. Now that key is within God's will. I can tell you firsthand that when I'm following God's will, he has always provided me with exactly what I needed. No more, no less. Proverbs 38 says, "Keep falsehood and liars far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Don't worry about all the extra stuff. Don't worry about being too poor, too rich. Just give me what I need, Lord. But I also want us to consider that maybe Jesus meant more than our physical need. If you remember, Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone. John wrote in his gospel that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our daily need is not for a loaf of bread. Our daily need is for the truth. Our daily need is Jesus. Our daily need is God's Word. Maybe we should be saying, "Give us this day our daily truth. Give us this day our daily Jesus. Give us this day our daily Word of God. And as we continue with the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, it says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Of course, in some translations, and as we say in our service, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." We need forgiveness, and our God is a forgiving God. In Psalm 103, it says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God is a loving God, a forgiving God. But the prayer says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." You see, this is a two-part statement that is specifically tied together. First, yes, we do need to realize we need forgiveness. But we also need to realize that we will not be forgiven unless we forgive others. Look at what Jesus tells us a couple verses later in Matthew. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, isn't that something? If you do not forgive other people's their sins, then your Father is not going to forgive you your sins. This is supported by Proverbs 19:11. "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is one's glory to overlook an offense." Do you ever feel distant from God? Do you ever feel that things just aren't right? Well, it could be a sin in your life that is creating that separation. Or it could be your unwillingness to forgive someone else. Holding on to grudges, holding on to anger does nothing for us. It causes stress and anxiety, not just for you, but for those around you. The proverb says a wise person learns to forgive. I had a nephew that was a junior in high school when he turned 18. And when he turned 18 on December 25th, he walked into the living room one morning and told my sister, "I am 18 and I am out of here." So my dad and I, he called me up. He says, "We're going to get him." And we drove out. She lived way out past Lake Winoka, out towards Ripley. We drove out there and we grabbed him and took him back, made an apartment for him over our factory. Got him enrolled in the local high school, bought him a laptop, stayed on him, got on him, put him back in school. And let me tell you, my dad did everything he could for his grandson. But yet he continued to choose bad ways, bad decisions, drugs. He sold the laptop for money, did all kinds of things. And we heard that he'd been sneaking the company truck out. He did not have a driver's license. He wasn't insured. We had cameras all over, and he was very good. He kept sneaking it out. He knew how to avoid the camera angles, and we finally caught him red-handed. And he sat there and lied to my grandpa and to my face right in front of us after all that we had done. And he was putting my dad, his company, his liability, everything at rest. Because if he went out and got in an accident, it's my dad's name on that truck. It's my dad's name on that business. Everything was riding on that. And Joe had made me so angry over this time. I was going home angry. And my anger took it out on my family. And finally, in that morning when we caught him red-handed and he lied to us, I jumped across the desk and I literally had my hands on his throat. And I was about ready, literally, to beat the kid. And my dad stopped me. And I had to realize what my anger, what my grudge, what my unwillingness to offer him grace and mercy and forgiveness was doing to me. That's why God says, if you can't let other people have the same grace I'm offering you, you're not going to get my grace. You got to be forgiving. You got to be loving. And when I let it go and I turned it over to God and I said, God, I got to give Joe to you. There's nothing else I can do. Nothing else I can do. It changed me. It lifted the burden off of me. Now, sadly, 3 years later, it's a tragic story. But I can live today without regret because I gave it to God. And the burden was no longer on me. So not only must we forgive so that we can be forgiven, we must forgive so we can be healthy. And following this amazing power for forgiveness, Jesus concludes his teaching on how to pray with this. Verse 13, he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Let us be clear that God does not tempt us, nor does God actually lead us into temptation. A better way to phrase this translation, because remember, this is a translation. A better way to phrase this would be, keep us on a path, or lead us, in a way that helps us to avoid the pitfalls in life that would tempt us to sin. You see the difference there? Lead us in a way that helps us to avoid pitfalls in life that would tempt us to sin. Because by nature we are weak and prone to sin. We must pray to God for strength and guidance. For it is only with his strength that we can defeat our own sin, and only through his guidance can we stay on the right path. And we go to the Old Testament. I got two examples for us. Proverbs 38, we read earlier, keep falsehoods and all lies far from me. And Jeremiah 15, he says, I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel. And there's many other verses that support this. And it wasn't just a few weeks ago. We looked at how Jesus was tempted in the desert. And how did he defeat Satan? He used God's word. He quoted scripture. He quoted the Old Testament. That's how Jesus defeated Satan. And in this part of the prayer, we're not only asking God to protect us from sin, but from all things evil. And let us remember that prayer is not just about us as individuals. Prayer should be about other people. We should be asking God every day to protect our spouses, our kids, our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should pray for our boss, our co-workers, our kids' teachers, our kids' bus drivers. We are in the midst of a spiritual battle, and prayer is a powerful weapon. We should pray often and pray for everything. Prayer was important to Jesus. The disciples saw how important prayer was. Think about our communion, right? It was talking about Jesus. He took the cup and then he gave thanks to God. What did he do? He prayed. He took the bread and what did he do? He prayed. Jesus went off to the mountains and prayed. Before Jesus did that, he prayed. He did this, he did that. Prayer was so important, so instrumental in his life that the disciples said, teach us. Teach us how to pray. We need prayer. Prayer lets us praise God. Prayer keeps us on God's path. Prayer helps to provide our needs. Prayer is the means to forgiveness and salvation. Prayer provides for our protection. Prayer is a way we can remind ourselves how much we need God. Prayer reminds us that life is different when we put God first. Life is different when we include God in every part of our life, every day. True story, you can ask my friend John, my coworker John, how many times we've been in the middle of a job and I've had to stop and pray, God, give me the skills to do things that are beyond my ability. I'm a limited person, and sometimes I'm asked to do things in this world that are beyond my ability. We were doing a masonry job and putting up this little stone wall, and let me tell you, the stones were falling off, and it wasn't going well. I said, John, we need to stop and pray. And we did. And guess what? The stones started sticking. People, I'm telling you, prayer is powerful. Everything you do in life, you need to include God. Pray to God. Ask for His will. Ask for His guidance. Ask for His help, His strength, His wisdom. And He can allow you to do things that are well beyond your abilities. Prayer is important. We need to be humble, genuine, and full of faith when we pray. Our humbleness keeps order in how we pray. It keeps us from being on top of everything. It keeps God on top. Being genuine means that our hearts are in it. It means our prayers are just not routine. Being genuine means our prayers are intentional, specific, and meaningful. Being genuine means we have prepared ourselves for prayer. We've offered our confession and our repentance. But most importantly, our prayers need to be full of faith. We have to believe that our prayers make a difference. We have to believe that our prayers are heard by God. And I make this mistake all the time. We use the word hope, don't we? Oh, I hope everything turns out okay. Oh, I hope it's all going to be okay. Why do we hope? We shouldn't just hope that our prayers are heard. We need to know they are heard. We may not always get the answers we want or the timing that we want. But we need to have faith that there isn't anything too little or too big for our God. Because the scriptures tell us to take everything to God in prayer. And we need to have faith that through humble and genuine prayers, that God will provide answers. We may not always like His answers. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes He says not now. And sometimes He answers them differently than we asked. But I promise you that if you pray to God in all sincerity, you will see God at work even in ways that you find unexpected, even when things don't work out the way you want them to do. And the prayer concludes with this phrase, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now this phrase you won't find directly in the scripture. But what this phrase does is circle the prayer's focus back to God. The prayer starts with honor and praise of God, and the prayer concludes with the honor and praise of God. This phrase actually comes from an ancient Christian document they called the Didache. The word Didache literally means teaching. And they found this, it was like a manual on how to live a Christian life. It was an early, early Christian teaching. And it had instructions on how to baptize, administer Holy Communion, do prayer, and do worship. And the Didache and some Greek translations of the Bible, because you will find, like in the King James Version, that that's added in there, that last phrase. Well, it was taken out in some of the newer translations because the older manuscripts didn't have them. Some of the translators added that in there. But it was tacked on at the end of the prayer as a common Jewish practice that the end of any prayer, they ended it with a blessing or a doxology. You know how we sing a doxology after the offering? So they would, this is their doxology. It's a statement of glory. And so the practice stuck. So it got added on, wasn't in the scripture, got added on, and then made it into some translations and taken back out. But when we say it, we of course end it with that. But doxologies, these little statements of prayer, of faith, and celebration were common in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, in the south, to see if that doesn't sound familiar. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. You see that common doxology? That's what was added to the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer isn't just routine prayer. It is a prayer that teaches us how to pray. It is a prayer that unites us to the Old Testament and unites us with each other. And it is a prayer that expresses our faith to God. It's a sign of unity. It's a sign of bringing us together. That's why we say it together every week. It's one of those things we can say, you know what? Despite all this other stuff going on and that weird committee that you want me to be on, things of this faith is what unites us together. And that's what we need to be about, people. We need to be a people of real faith. People that have faith in Scripture, people that have faith in prayer. And we are deeply rooted in that. I promise you, God has spectacular things planned for us, just like he told Jeremiah. He says, I know the plans I have for you, but we got to do our part. We got to pray, got to have faith, and we got to be founded in his scriptures. I think all of you know the Lord's Prayer by heart, don't you? I know it by heart, even though I can't say all the words. I have a speech impediment, and that word temptation, that lead us not into temptation, is very hard for me. So true confession, I read it every Sunday off my tablet because of my speech impediment. But we know the words, don't we? Do you just show up and say them every week? Do you understand the power behind prayer? I think if we really understood the power behind prayer, we would be saying, Jesus, teach me to pray the way you prayed. Remember that night in the garden? What did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. And he asked the disciples to do what? Pray with me. But what did they do? Tired. I had a big meal. We had a big party. I'm going to take a nap on the rock. And who were the ones that fell away? Who were the ones that ran? They did not exercise the power of prayer. Jesus set for us the example of how to pray. Let us always be a church focused on his word and focused on prayer, because that is where real power comes from. Not from us, but as gifts from God. Let us leave here now, remembering that we serve a good and holy God that is willing to lead us and empower us in all that we do if we would simply be obedient and prayerful children. Let us leave here today knowing the good and great God that we serve. Let us always pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.